Well, welcome to, what is this called? Between Sermons Podcast. I'm Pastor Carlton. We got Pastor Asa here with me. We're going to be talking about prayer, praying like Jesus.
Pray like Jesus.
So Pastor Brent is gone. Well, he's not gone. He's in gone. Senegal.
Only reason we here.
Yes.
He's gone.
He's in Senegal saving people. Doing the work of the Lord, and we're here being goofballs.
Or doing his work.
Doing somebody his work,
gotta,
there you go.
Somebody got to back him up. That's
hold
my
up the
job,
church.
Man.
So this is a Pastor Carlson, Pastor Asa podcast takeover. We've taken over the church for the 99s and 2000s.
Yeah, we play Uno all morning.
All so morning, we play Uno.
That's how
it started. So this is going to be a fun podcast. We're going to just be relaxed, and we're going to go through a little bit of your sermon. We're going to talk about our own prayer lives. And see where we land with this. So hopefully this is a good casual conversation, and you know, we can make something happen out of it. So
I think it will be. Yeah. We know you like to talk.
Oh, thank you.
I'm gonna just sit back and I'm alone for the ride. Whatever he do, just let him go. But it should be good. I would assume that you have some experiences in your life where prayer has been a part of it or made a difference. So
yes.
We should be good.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, when you have a devotional or a sermon or even a podcast that God has you in the midst of the thing you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, man, God, like, why are you giving me a real life example of this just so I can be invested in it? I'm already invested in it. It's your word, you know?
So I'm not going to even jump into that this early in the podcast because getting to the stage on Sunday, all of my prayer abilities and experience, it all had to come into play. To the stage on Sunday. Right, you was there. You was part of it.
Let's take yes. So let's we gonna what do you call that? Turn that corner around that circle.
I don't know. We'll get there.
Around those wagons. There's a term meaning we gonna go back to
circle the wagons?
There you go. Something.
Sound,
I don't know.
Sound familiar.
Might be racist, but that's okay.
Oh. he said that. I wasn't a part of that conversation, whoever watching.
All right. So to get us started, I'm going to present to you a problem that I have, and I want you to let me know how to deal with the problem, if it is a problem, if you've experienced this, okay? So in my prayer life, I have such a position of relationship with Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So in my head, at least I do, right? I call him Jesus. He calls me Carlson. We're on first-name basis.
All right.
So Jesus is my homeboy. Right. He's my road dog. Mm-hmm. But with that, I also have to be reminded to reverence Jesus in prayer. Mm-hmm. Like, I talk to him casually. I talk to the Holy Spirit casually. I'd be like, man, Jesus, I screwed up, man. But you know I'm human. It's cool. You know, I appreciate you dying for me and, you know, washing that away. So I have a very casual relationship with the Holy Spirit in prayer. But I struggle sometimes in my own self that, Carlton, you have to make sure that you have proper reverence for God in prayer. Mm-hmm. So what's the balance there? What have you experienced, and what kind of advice would you give me?
Right offhand, what you remind me of is it's different ways of parenting.
Yeah.
You can parent some kids with the belt, and that might help. Yeah. Some kids, you can give a hug, and that might help.
Uh-huh.
So when it comes to relationship, what I'm thinking as you're saying that is, it's not one right way. The cool thing is you do realize, oh, let me check myself and make sure I'm reverencing
right,
and respecting God. But I think that God wants us to be our real selves with him. He knows who we are, and he knows your heart. So is your heart in a position of reverencing God?
Right.
He knows that, regardless of what we say or how we say it, he knows your heart. So I think being real with God is the way to go. Mm-hmm. I think he wants relationship. I think that's what it's all about is, man, I love you. You're my child. Let's be in relationship. I mean, so that's how I see it. I don't think it's a problem unless the Holy Spirit is telling you it's a problem.
Right, yeah.
So,
because I think about David and how he positioned himself in prayer.
Right.
Like, he told God all of his emotions, what he was feeling, the pain that he was in, his struggles. He was telling God what he wanted God to do to his enemies and how he wanted to kill them and destroy them. Like, he was very authentic and real in prayer. And I find that that's a way for me to really, like, get out, like, the emotion that I'm feeling in a moment. It's like, listen, God, this hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to come through with this or I'm not going to make it. Right. Like, the authenticity in being I don't want to keep saying casual, but real with God in prayer, mm-hmm. I think really helps me. But mm-hmm. I also got to remember how Jesus taught us to pray. And mm-hmm. he first started out with understanding God's position mm-hmm. and reverencing that position mm-hmm. and honoring that.
Yeah.
So it's just something that, you know, I've been thinking about.
And I think it's, so depending on what church circle you come from, when you look at how David did it, mm-hmm. some people would think, well, where's the lightning bolt that's coming for me talking to God like this? and then some might be in the ditch on the other side. Very possible that it's a little bit too casual. But I think that it's all of the above. Mm-hmm. So you have the relationship with God, where it's just talking to God. I used in the sermon yesterday, hey, I'm in Target and talking to God about a t-shirt. He cares. Right. He don't feel like, this is not serious enough, don't talk to me about that. He cares. He wants you to be in constant fellowship. When his word tells us to pray always, that do not mean be on your knees yes. with your hands up always, because that's about impossible for us
right,
to do.
Right.
So I think that it's those moments, yes, yeah. where I'm just on my face, reverencing God, giving God mm-hmm. much respect. And yeah. then it's just all of the in-between. The majority of it is going to be the conversation. The majority of it is going to be, good morning, Jesus.
The yeah, majority the moment-by-moment moment relationship.
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be you experience something good, and it's like, man, thank you, Father, for that. You know what I mean? You get a revelation of how wonderful your wife is, and it's like, Lord, thank you for blessing yeah. me with a wonderful
right,
woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's just relationship. So right. I think that it's that. I think long as your heart is positioned.
Yeah, I told right. my son, I said, it's like if our conversations were rhetoric only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you only talk to me either in the morning or right before bed. Right.
Good morning, Father Carlton.
right. And then you quote something that I said to you in the past right. back to me. Mm-hmm. You tell me what your needs are for the day.
Right.
And then I don't talk to you until tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Horrible.
And I tell Spencer, like, that's not how relationship works. And that's not how God wants us to have a relationship mm-hmm. with him in prayer.
Yeah.
Our relationship with him in prayer, because we can't make prayer some kind of systematic,
right.
stuffy thing. We have to have relationship and authenticity in prayer. Mm-hmm. And I really do think, and it could be just my whimsical sense of humor, that God enjoys that,
mm-hmm.
and he responds to us
yeah.
when we come to him that way. I even crack jokes with Jesus. Yeah. I'm like, God, wasn't that funny?
Yeah.
He doesn't, you know, I don't hear him audibly laughing in my head, but to me, I'm like, man, like, yeah. God gave me a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I think he enjoys that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I love to play golf by myself. But it's never by myself.
right.
I'm hanging out with Jesus. Like, I can yeah. be playing golf and talking to God and hit a bad shot and, Lord, Jesus, help me with yeah. that. You know what I mean? Like, just, man, I'm just doing life with God.
Right.
He
right.
wants us to do life with him. I mean, yeah. good, bad, and the ugly. And that's, I think that's the part that we need to get.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the part. A lot of people get the, or try to get into regimens of how they need to have a prayer life and pray an hour
right,
and do
right.
this and do that. When, man, it's so much in between, like you said, waking up in the morning praying and praying before you go to bed. If I don't acknowledge my wife from sun up to sundown, that's
have
a terrible
wife.
Marriage, horrible marriage. It's a horrible relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's not what God wants from us.
Yeah, I've even taken Jesus out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
As crazy as that sounds.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone to a restaurant and yeah. sat down, and I would have a basis of, you know, my conversations with him mm-hmm. during a meal or something like that. You know, I would read an article, or there'll be a passage that sticks out to me that I want to just, you know, have a open discussion with mm-hmm. God about.
Yeah.
And I find those moments to be so fulfilling for mm-hmm. me. And, you know, people may think I'm crazy. I'm sitting there, you know,
yeah.
talking to myself. I'm talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like, you know, his presence, you know, just the fulfillment that I get when I actually spend alone time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, like, my alone time with God could be in an activity mm-hmm. that I'm doing by myself. Like,
yeah.
you play golf.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go out to eat and I'll be talking to God during a meal. And I think that it is helpful for a lot of people when they understand that, okay, do I need a prayer closet?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some times where, like, I come up here to the prayer room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pointing to our prayer room
prayer room.
That's that way. At church, we have a prayer room. I invite you to come. Join me in prayer.
Go that way.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people think that there needs to be, like, a tabernacle, a place for them to go to the Holy of Holies and meet God. Right. And it's like, well, you went to the grocery store yesterday. Mm-hmm. Was God not
there
with you in the grocery store? Mm-hmm. That could have been a time where you walked around, you know, Mariano's for 45 minutes trying to figure out where the M&M's are. Mm-hmm. That's a time for you to talk to God.
Yeah, yeah. So. And it's I use that with parenting sometimes. I just give my kids reminders that God loves you and he's always with you. Now, some of that might be a Jedi mind trick. You know, God watching you, right? But it's really not that. Yeah. It's really, you know, I always pray for their protection when they get out the car and the angel of the Lord is encamped around you and things like that. And it's really to make them aware that that's real. Yeah. Like, you really, God is truly always with you. So acknowledge that. Yeah. And he wants us to acknowledge that. So, and that has saved my life so many times. My mother just teaching me that. That's the most meaningful thing I got from my mother. Follow your inner man, son.
Right.
God is with you. He's in you. And he will lead you. Follow your inner man. And man, my inward man in the midst of foolishness would lead me out of foolishness. My inward man in the midst of just craziness.
Right.
Would lead me out of it to the point where my friends would be like, but you was right there with us. Then all of a sudden you wasn't. And now we going to jail. Where were you? And I'm like, dude, the Lord got through to me before I got there with y'all. So I exited stage left out of the blue.
I've had so many of those moments. And I'm like, now in my maturity, I'm like, okay, the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this. But there were some times where I was so distracted with what I wanted to do that I guess this goes to being able to submit in prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So we can start getting into this.
Yeah.
It's like I was so distracted with what I wanted to do that I didn't hear the Holy Spirit speak to me and to nudge me or move me to do something different. Mm-hmm. Now, there was times where I'm like, okay, the Holy Spirit was loud and clear with that. And I look back and like, okay, that saved me from that. Mm-hmm. But we have to get to a place in our relationship with God where we can submit to when the Holy Spirit starts nudging us or speaking to us in our inner man through prayer and outside of prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got to get to a point where we're so used to hearing from the Holy Spirit in prayer that we can also hear from the Holy Spirit outside of prayer.
Yeah, yeah. Because I say that story, that wasn't when he started talking. God was talking long before I got myself that close to whatever was next. He started a long time ago. Right. Finally, I would say smart enough, but I don't even know if I was smarter. Finally, he got through to me. You know what I mean? Right. And it shouldn't be that way. That's not ideal. That's just how much he loves us. Right. That's just his willingness to love us unconditionally and do all he can to steer us in the way that we should go. And it's never it's too late for him to steer us in the way that we should go. Right. He's trying to steer you in the way you should go. And if you listen long before you get to trouble, you probably won't end up in as many things that turn out bad as they do. Right. And I think that goes to some of those hard-to-answer questions. Some people look at it as, well, why do God allow these things? I look at it as some human is not listening to God.
Right.
To end up there.
Right.
Whether
right.
it's the one that's the problem or the victim.
Right.
I don't care if you know Jesus or not. God is trying to save all man. Mm-hmm. Whether you have a relationship or not, right. he's trying to save you. It's interesting because if you actually chime into some of the 911 stuff from different churches, there's a lot of stories out there that, of course, the TV's not going to show you, but there's a lot of stories out there about people who woke up that day and said, something inside me just told me to go the other way. Something inside me just told me to go to Dunkin' Donuts. I don't even go to Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
Something inside me. People that don't know God talking so much about how something was just telling him to do something else. So you don't hear those stories. You hear about the tragedy.
Right, of course.
But God was trying to save everybody.
Yeah, I was like 19 years old, and I was driving home. I lived in my grandma's basement. Mm-hmm. And something told me to take the long way home. Yeah. And I'm like, but it's right there. And I kept going down the street to the next light to go around back to my grandmother's house. Mm-hmm. when I got to my grandmother's house, there was a Chevy Suburban that was halfway in the house. It had crashed into the house in the corner of the house where my bed was in the basement.
Yeah, buddy.
And I don't know if I would have been pulling up at that moment and he would have hit me, or if I would have been downstairs in the basement at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, like, if I didn't take the action when something told me to take the long way home, I could have been in real trouble.
Yeah.
Now, there's other times, in hindsight, I know the Holy Spirit was talking to me loud and clear, like nearly shaking me to do something different, and I did something anyway. And now I find myself 15 years later praying to come out of, to overcome the thing that I should have listened to 15 years ago. And it's so important that when we in prayer and in relationship with Him, that we are hearing from the Holy Spirit, that we are we have to listen to what He's telling us. Because hearing can be easy. It's the unction in our consciousness and His word. But we got to listen to what is being said to us.
We
got to
obey.
Save us some trouble.
Yeah. It every, you know, I quote it all the time because everything to me just goes to Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. That's simple. I know we're not going to do it in all our ways, but that word, God's word, that's so simple.
Right.
And we do not do it. Not in all our ways, and we never will, but
we don't
the
do
higher
it.
The percentage that you acknowledge God in your ways, the better off you'll be.
Right.
I mean, and that's just such the truth. I got such a similar story to yours. I told it on the podcast before, so I'll give the quickest possible way. Same thing. Got in the car, heading home, and the Holy Spirit, from the time I shut the door in the car, was telling me to take the long way home. And I wrestled till I came to that decision point. And at the decision point, I start braking to turn left on Indian Wood like He told me to do. And this car comes sliding through right in front of me, going to the woods. I do, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Turn left the way He told me. But at that point, I probably should have stopped and helped the brother that just slid off into the woods. But I was so shook Lord, You told me for a mile I'm driving and You telling me to turn left. I can do nothing but just praise God on my way home.
Right.
So that's the thing, man. And a lot of stuff happened that we're not acknowledging God in all our ways.
And part of the reason why we don't acknowledge God in all our ways is because we haven't gotten to that first part of that scripture. That verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I think that we have a problem with that. I think in theory we understand that, but in actual practice and trusting God, I think that's where we fall short. And in practice, when we're like, well, I don't know if God is really saying that to me, but my desire is to do this.
Yeah.
And so when we don't trust, when the Holy Spirit gives us a revelation of something or nudges us in a direction, then it's hard for us then to take that next step in acknowledging Him and everything. Because we're going to get to a point where we stop acknowledging Him because we don't trust Him.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't trust God, because we do trust God, but our practice and our human selves and our lives, we don't exhibit trust. We don't show that we trust God. Because we want to do our thing our way, and then we stop acknowledging Him.
And I hate to say it this way, but we don't value that higher than some of the things we want
to
do.
Absolutely, right.
We just don't value trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That part is so interesting, because sometimes it's you lean not to your own understanding, and sometimes you do things to not be seen in a certain light. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can be with a group of people and the Lord tell you something, and you can be like, dang, I feel like that's the Lord, but I don't want to look like the strange guy that exit about this thing right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a lot of factors that play into why we don't actually act on, because I feel like I trust them wholeheartedly, but I don't listen wholeheartedly. So I don't know if it's the I don't trust them, or if it's the
but we got to submit.
We got to submit.
Like, we got to submit to His influence in our life, his direction. I'm going to call it influence, His will for us in our lives.
Yeah.
We have to submit our hearts to trusting Him completely. We have to submit our own. We have to die to our own desires and our own wants. You know, the thing that our own consciousness that's telling us, no, your logic and experience will tell you, Carlson, that this is right. Like, I have to die to that and submit to the will of God.
Yeah.
And it takes some practice, some trial and error.
Yeah.
And sometimes God lets us experience the consequences of not trusting him because he wants us to see. If the fire is not hot, we're going to keep burning ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have to experience the heat. We have to experience a burn. Like, we pray for God's mercy all the time. But sometimes it's his judgment that helps moves us to trusting him more. You know, David said that his rod and his staff comfort him. Like, his rod is the, I'm saying the rod of correction that taps us in one direction or another.
Yeah.
And it's like we have to be able to submit to his will and understand that for us to move forward in our relationship with him.
Yeah. And you started that, and you kind of backtracked on it, but you started it by saying his influence. It is, but it's, are we going to allow his influence?
Yes, yes. That,
are we going to allow his will to be done in our life? It's a strange thing popped in my head when you said it, but in the same way that you cannot be driving under the influence unless you willingly get under the influence, God ain't going to make you do nothing. You have to willingly allow him to influence you. If you want to be driving under the influence of the Holy Ghost, you got to do it willingly.
Right,
you
have
to eat his word, drink his word, stay in his word, and then be willing to obey. And the more you practice it, the easier it will probably be. Right. And it don't get easy, but the easier it'll be, the more you practice it. I mean, but you can practice it and do well on it for a long time in your life, and then if you let go of that rope a little bit, you'll be right back where you were. But it's just allowing God's will in there, because he's not making us do nothing.
Yeah.
He's not making us do anything. And I'm sometimes I struggle with the it's his judgment part of it, because sometimes I feel like it's just more our stupidity. There's a consequence for sin. That's so if
all
I go
of
out,
our stupidity.
Yeah, if I go out, if I jump off this second floor, it's gonna be a consequence.
Yeah, absolutely.
God didn't judge me. He created the law of gravity. If I jump, it's my fault.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so it's certain things, and the law of sin will kill you. That's a thing. So the end result of sin is always death.
Right.
Sometimes it's slower than others. But if you die of lung cancer from smoking, God didn't judge you.
Right. Absolutely.
That wasn't God's judgment. That was it's a fact that you'll get lung cancer from smoking.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing about this is that it's not like God doesn't want to hear our hearts. Because he opens the door for us to express to him what we feel, what we're going through, even what our desires are. He wants to hear from us because we're his children.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded when Jesus is praying in the garden that he doesn't have to take the path of dying on the cross. And he's telling the Father how he feels.
Yeah.
All of the range of emotions that he's going through. And he's pouring out what he wants to the Father. But in that moment, he submits to the will of God.
It's wild.
And so it's like, okay, I can submit to the will of God, and sometimes, as difficult as that may seem, God allows the door to be open for me to tell him what's on my heart and what's on my mind and the things that I'm looking for and what I want. And he will take my desire and he'll either correct it or he'll align it with his will. And now, because I'm fully submitted to him and I want to do his will, his will slowly becomes my desire. His will is the priority in my life and not my own desires. And it's so amazing that our Savior was able to demonstrate that for us.
Yeah, yeah.
That he was able to pray to the Father and give him what he desired, but then was still able to submit to his will.
Yeah. So yesterday in the sermon, I read John 12, 27, part of 28. And after I read it, I talked about how Jesus wasn't confused, but it sounds like he was confused as he's saying this. And he says, verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Instead, for this reason, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." So it's like in the same thing, "Save me from this hour, Lord. But instead, I came for this hour."
Yes.
"And now I'm going to do your will."
Right.
So it's like he's not confused. He's just telling them how he really feels. Yeah. Like he's in a place where his flesh wants to be saved.
Right.
And all the things that go with that flesh, your brain, your emotions. He's feeling that stress, that strain that we feel. And at the same time, he's able to say, "Ah, but your will, not mine, be done."
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Nothing in him wanted to do it.
Absolutely. It's so beautiful for us. you know, as humans living in this flesh, that we have an opportunity to express to the Father what our desires are.
Yeah.
And that's a theme in prayer throughout the Bible, being able to share with God, God, this is what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's troubling me. Mm-hmm. This is what I think in my logic. This is what my experience is telling me or showing me.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to submit all of that to you mm-hmm. and let you do with it what you think is absolute best.
Yeah.
And I just think that that's part of relationship, being able to hear us and, you know, receive our desires and our mm-hmm. thought process and being able to take that and say, okay, I get all of that, but but here's what I have for you. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's just a brilliant way to have a relationship with God.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's so awesome that we can tell him. He knows how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's do the circle back that we was talking about from the beginning.
Yes.
So he knows our will, right?
Buckle up for this.
Yeah, it could go a lot of different ways. It's about to get crazy over here. Okay, let's go. Look, I got to start at the beginning. After my 2 months of research for this message.
2 months of research.
2 months of research.
Because Pastor Brent told me that you were going to be out one morning because you were doing your message.
Yeah.
And I was like, his message is like a month away. All right, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's the first thing that came to me.
He's confirming. 2 months of research and working on this message. And I show up to We Do Sermon Planning, which is 2 weeks before I got to go. And then we do it again the week before. And where all of the brilliant pastors of the church and the great minds and the great theologians sit.
No.
And we give our message to the table. We present our message.
Yeah.
So it's my pattern that I show up with just, first off, just all scripture. That's just my pattern.
20 pages of scripture.
20 pages of scripture. I don't know how else not to do that, right? So all my research, I done put all this hard time into it, and that 20 pages that I brought was narrowed down from what I had. And that's just as far as I had gotten.
I mean, that's a great foundation. At least you're preaching scripture.
Yeah. That's just as far as I had gotten in reducing it down to that moment. So I knew that first time when I came, this is as far as I've gotten sorting through my research, right? Yeah. No big deal. That boy got the King's X, bam. And I exit stage left. I'm a little bit, actually not a big deal. I'm somewhat encouraged because I got to teach Life View tomorrow. And Pastor Brent, like, you probably got half your Life View sermon wrote. Hadn't even got to Life View yet. So great. Good.
So what happened in that first meeting?
In that first meeting?
Yeah.
What happened as far as the response?
Yes, the response.
In that first meeting, the responses were... You want the play-by-play?
No,
you
no,
got up just, and left, didn't you? You left.
But
you heard it in the car.
Zoom,
so it's funny. So when I was done, it was this awkward silence. Yeah. And then Pastor Soul, with all her graciousness, started to tell me a little bit about what she thinks. But behind her is Pastor Brent getting up, going to the chalkboard.
To the whiteboard.
To the whiteboard. And he just started writing things on the board. And Pastor Soul is trying to let me down easy, but telling me what she thinks I should do in a direction
but
I should
why?
Go.
But why? I think the why is important for the audience.
The why.
So you're writing a sermon about prayer.
Yeah.
You come with a dissertation on prayer from a scripture. Like, if there was a Thompson Chain Bible in note form, it was your notes on this sermon.
Okay, right.
So you had all scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spanning across the entire Bible.
Yeah.
But what Pastor Soul was trying to do was say prayer is a practical application for everybody that can be taught in a very simplistic form and still be profound.
Right.
So I think that was the nature of it, the context of it, that prayer could be extremely complex.
Mm-hmm.
And we can present prayer as being extremely complex.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But and from a practical sense, we can take the theory of prayer and we can bring it all the way down to its simplistic form in prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Go ahead.
So they gave the input, all what he said. Great. I left. I went. I reduced. I simplified. I actually started over and then brought a little bit of some of it back, but in a reduced, more simplistic form. Went through the process again. Now, this meeting, second meeting, which is last Tuesday, 6 days ago.
So right before you're about to preach.
Right. 6 days ago. And I presented my message, and this wonderful fella, Pastor Carlton, had a he had notes. He had notes on his phone, Pastor Soul on the iPad over there writing down notes. It was great. So they gave me their feedback. I would say similar to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Similar feedback to the first one, but just trying to get me to make it more, trying to get what I'm trying to say in my heart and put it down clearly so people can understand it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bottom line.
Right.
Because the most, it was a few things that stood out. But Pastor Soul, at the end, after Carlton went, kind of said how he felt, a few people said, Pastor Soul went through it and said, when you got to the end and said those 3 points, I was thinking, this is what the message to be about. And I was thinking, that's what the message was about. So somewhere in there was a disconnect.
Okay, yeah.
Because I thought that's what the message was about. She was like, those 3 points, that's what the message should have been about. So I'm like, okay, great. Everybody get their feedback. Joni gave some really good feedback to me that ended up helping me a lot.
Okay.
And Joni's feedback was simple. Asa, you're a great storyteller. Just tell stories. That's basically what she said. Okay, so I took everybody's feedback. To be honest, and this is why I got on this, when it was over, because I was two things working. Exhaustion, because, I took the day the week before, a month and a half, 2 months into this sermon.
Right.
It was all sermon.
Right.
It wasn't for a lack of working on this. I was so fatigued. And then I felt gut punched at that point. And I'm not a gut punch type of person. I'm not a down type of person. But moral to the story is, by the time I got home and sat at my island, my 13-year-old daughter came down the stairs, turned the corner, saw me, and said, Dad, what's wrong? And came up and gave me a hug. 13-year-olds don't do that.
Did she listen to the Holy Spirit in that moment?
She just saw that I was...
Yeah.
What's the word for it?
Destroyed.
I was in a bad way. It wasn't like Jesus sweating blood, but I was in a bad way for me. I was down. I was defeated. That's the word.
You're defeated.
I was defeated.
Yeah.
I was defeated, right? So I had told Soul and Joni, they was the last ones in the room with me. I had told Soul and Joni, I'm about to take 24 hours off from this because I got to make this Life U class. I'm going to come back to this on Thursday. Right. I got to take a full day off from this sermon.
Uh-huh.
So that was my intention. Wednesday morning, I wake up. Now we get into God and prayer and having to put everything that I taught yesterday to use. And I said, I'm not opening my computer. I'm just going to hang out with Jesus, put on some worship music, and talk to God and pray and just, I'm just going to pray like Jesus right now. So that's what I did. And in that moment, I'm sitting there worshiping God, and he just started giving me stuff. Well, actually, the first thing he did is gave me therapy, which is just so strange.
Man, the you first got thing therapy from
therapy
Jesus?
From the Lord. Because the first thing he told me, I'm sitting there just worshiping God, and he said, write down your feelings. He said, write down your feelings. And my response was, God, I'm a man. I suck it up. I don't do feelings. What do you mean, write down my feelings?
We don't journal our feelings.
Even though I'm in the middle of, like, at one of my lows, like, questioning, like, man, Lord, I think you told me to do this.
You went to Bible school and college,
I was questioning.
The whole nine.
Everything was in question in that moment. And the Lord told me to write down my feelings. And I wrote all this stuff down, didn't think none of it. I grabbed the computer, opened it up, and I jotted all that down, closed it. Because I'm like, I'm not doing this computer right now. And then Joni's word spoke to me. Asa, just tell stories. Your gift is storytelling.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So I started writing down some of my life. I really just started writing down what I preached yesterday because it started ringing out to me that it was a lot of different parts of prayer that was involved with that. So I left Wednesday morning when I'm not even supposed to be working on this sermon with just my therapy session, and I wrote down the stories that I told from my life, from Karis and from hearing God. Right. I wrote that. That's all I had. Moved from it. Did Pastor Chris, did the Life University course, wrote that out. On where are we at? That was Wednesday morning. On Thursday, I get back to my sermon. I open up my notes. We had kind of landed on the Lord's Prayer part is probably a good sermon part.
Yeah.
That's where we landed. I got it sitting there. I can't go forward.
Can't move?
I just erased it. I didn't erase it.
Oh.
I copied and pasted it over there. I'm like, that ain't where I'm going, obviously, because I got nothing. And I looked at the stuff the Lord had me write. This is on the same in my notes and my little Bible sermon stuff I use. I got the therapy. Then I got the notes on my life, not the notes, but the stories from my life. And then I got my sermon that I had tried 2-3 weeks in a row sitting there. And I pulled over the therapy and the stories. And then somehow from there, I just within like, it was like 10, 20 minutes, I had this outline. And that was my whole message.
Yep. Man.
And then I erased the therapy session because my wife was like, maybe that ain't for the stage.
Not for everybody.
And that was Saturday night. As it was written. Saturday night when I had nothing left, I had to go to bed. We looked at it and was like, maybe that part ain't for this. And so I scrapped that. And then I got more clarity, finished the message at like 5 a.m. yesterday.
Prayer.
But what was the point of all of that? Mm-hmm. I finally stopped again. And now I started before the research. Yeah, I started that way. I started, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not your will, but mine. I just want to preach the message you want me to preach.
Right, so what changed? What changed from then to Saturday? Or
I have no
Wednesday
idea what changed, man. I don't know. I did all I knew to do, Carlton. Like, I have no idea.
You needed a therapy session with God.
Apparently.
You needed therapy
and
prayer.
I feel like it worked. I mean, I thought the message went over well.
It was great. So I had the same experience when I preached the Gospels.
Yeah.
Both sermon planning meetings were terrible.
Yeah.
The last one, the Tuesday before I preached, Pastor Jerry was like, that's not it. He's like, I don't know where you're going, but that's not it. And I'm like, there's no more sermon plannings. Right. After you say that, Pastor Jerry, there's no more time for me to meet with y'all as a group.
Tracy said that several times. So, but you're not meeting with them again. How are you changing your message? But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, and so I get to Saturday. So I still work on this same basis or same structure, time, the outline that I had going into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday in the middle of the night, like 2 a.m., and I'm like, I'm not comfortable with this. And I just stop, I close my laptop, and I pray. Mind you, I have to
preach
in like 6 hours.
Yeah, buddy.
Right? I close my laptop, and I just pray. And the Holy Spirit downloads the Gospels.
Yeah.
In sermon form, 35 minutes, with outline, scripture, notes, the whole nine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the same thing with you. I'm like, God, I pray before I even started this weeks ago. And it's like, okay, what am I getting out of this? So I prayed then, and I'm praying now.
Mm-hmm.
Something changed.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I could come up with is that I pray that God would guide my ability and my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This prayer was, Holy Spirit, I need you to take over.
Yeah. Don't guide none of mine. You take over.
Because now, and it shouldn't be like this when we're desperate, but it usually comes out when we're desperate in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That God, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, total reliance.
I don't know what I'm doing. But the thing that I forgot was, I should have did that in the beginning. I should have said, God, I give up myself completely. Don't guide my ability. Become my ability.
Mm-hmm.
You are my attribute of ability, mm-hmm. not myself.
Yeah.
He's given us wisdom and understanding and comprehension and ability to write and to preach and all this other stuff. But I need to lay all of that down and let him completely take over.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in a sermon that I'm prepping. So I did the sermon at 4 a.m., sent Joni the notes 5 minutes before the service.
I remember them talking about it. Yeah, I remember somebody mentioned it. Like, I got them notes like late.
Choice words. Right. But it was wonderful. Pastor Jerry sent me a text. Was like, I don't know what you did.
Right.
But that was fantastic. Like,
I did nothing.
Pastor Jerry, I didn't do anything. All I did was lose sleep.
Right. So this is the question.
That submission and desperation and prayer allowed the Holy Spirit to actually move in my life instead of me saying, God, bless me as I do something instead of saying, Holy Spirit, do the thing.
Yeah. So my question to you is, from the start, how long do you sit? Okay. I had to put something in action, right? I didn't feel like I was, when I prayed at the beginning, that I took off on this me alone journey. Because I know that wasn't it, from one, because I got, right. I learned so much. My wife made the statement like, so all that, you did all that work for nothing. I said, no, I didn't. I said, I learned so much in prayer,
yes.
And organized so many prayer thoughts. Yes. And like, I learned so much through that journey.
Right.
So it wasn't in vain that I was doing that. But my question to you is, from the day I started it and I yield, I'm attempting to yield, not my will, but yours, yeah. God, on this sermon. Now, do I sit back and wait till I know it's like, okay, this is God? Or do I go through that process that I went through?
Absolutely. I feel
you. Know?
You. Right.
Do I wait till 4:08? Do I sit there like, Lord, I ain't got it from you yet, but it's Saturday night at 12.
Yeah, yeah. The entire time we have to be in prayer, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't – we can't give up the process of what we should be doing during that time.
Right.
So he says, in all that ways, acknowledge – him and he will direct your path. Yeah. And some translation says, make your path straight.
Make your path straight. Yeah.
He can't make a path straight if there's no path. He cannot steer a parked car.
Yeah.
So at some point in our lives, we need to be moving forward with the things that we know to do. We have a huge instruction manual with 66 books in it that gives us the direction we should be moving in our lives. And we have to continue moving in our lives so that we can get direction from God.
Yeah.
And so with our sermons as the example, we have to write our sermons.
Yeah.
We have to go through it. And in the process of writing it, we have to stay in prayer. Mm-hmm. And then he will direct us. Mm-hmm. Because if we just bring God a blank sheet of paper, he's going to say, I can't influence the pen if you haven't picked up the pen and started writing.
Yeah.
And so with that, I really think that in all thy ways, acknowledge him.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer needs to be in every single part of our lives.
Step.
And every step.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can make the path that we're on straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't make a non-path straight, because there's no moving. We're not doing anything. And then also believe that and I say this to people sometimes that I know who have like a strong prayer life or a good relationship with God, is that, you know, you're stuck at this impasse and you're trying to make a decision or you're trying to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, you know, all that time you spent in relationship with God, you have to believe that he's speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And moving you in a direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't just be stuck and say, well, your Holy Spirit hasn't given me anything yet. Because that requires no faith, right?
Yeah.
You would think it requires faith to stand still and let the Holy Spirit just give you what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that real faith comes in when you step out on it.
Yeah. Faith
there's
is
a
not
scene
works
in,
dead.
What is it, Indiana Jones, where there's the invisible bridge. And he knows that he has to get to the other side of this canyon. It's a canyon, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's on one side, and he knows that the opening is on the other side, and he's got to cross this bridge. Man, if it's not Indiana Jones, I'm sorry. You know.
And I ain't the guy. I don't know.
But he picks up Harrison Ford picks up sand and he throws it on the bridge.
Is this old Harrison or
old back in the day?
Yeah,
the 80s.
I think I remember that.
Harrison
Ford. Yeah.
He picks up the sand and throws it on the bridge, and there's a bridge there.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we stop and ask God to get us to the other side without any movement, then I don't, like, how does he reveals himself to us and us moving forward with the things that we know that he has told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We know what his will is for us just by reading the word, loving our neighbors, going spreading the gospel to all the nations. Like we understand what our call is and what he's asking us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, writing sermons, going to work, taking care of your family, be a loving husband.
Yeah.
Like, and in those things, and me loving my wife, if I did that in my own strength, and there's parts of our marriage where I did that in my own strength and didn't work out great at all. But if I love my wife in the strength of the Holy Spirit and his direction, then I have a better marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes action from me for God to direct and to lead and to influence and to guide in order for that to happen.
Yeah, that's 100% true. You have to, for one, if your heart is on doing what God would have you do, come times you got to take a step of faith.
Absolutely.
And if it's left and you pose to go right, he'll guide you.
Yeah.
He really will.
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of people do get stuck, paralyzed with, I got to do something. You do. But is your heart pointed toward right. God. Have you done what you know to do?
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean? Right. You do all the things that you can do.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to take a step. It's time to take the step. Yeah. And you sometimes you don't know. Shoot, and I still don't know.
Yeah, no.
Stop there. I still don't know.
Right.
I believe I'm where God wants me to be. It ain't easy, but it's fun. It's great. I'm fulfilled, but it's not this is an easy thing because I'm in the will of God. That ain't necessarily right. it. I mean, literally, I question, Lord, I believe this is where you have me. Am I in the right place? What is the problem right now? It's right. all in the middle of that therapy session.
I know, man. Like, my wife and I have been believing for something in prayer. And we just like, well, the Holy Spirit is going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is like, all the practical things that you know to do
mm-hmm.
that you're not doing, like you – like, I'm not saying don't pray because we have to pray. Yeah. But it's like we pray and then don't move. Don't mm-hmm. do anything that we know that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit is like, yeah, pray in the beginning. Pray through the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then pray in the end.
Yeah.
And watch how I work in every step mm-hmm. and everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why prayer life, our prayer life has to be a part of our life. It has to be a prayer life. It has to be, you know, everything
a life
that we
of
do.
Prayer.
Yeah.
A prayer life.
It can't be just a one-time thing, only when tragedy happens, only when we need something. Mm-hmm. I think, did you mention in your sermon that you can't prepare for war in war?
Yeah, basically you can't prepare for a boxing match.
A boxing match, yeah, that's what it was.
The day of the fight.
The day of the fight, right. Yeah, we need to be praying to God as we train for it. And then we watch the Holy Spirit give us revelation of what we need to do mm-hmm. when the time comes.
Yeah.
And it's not because God wasn't speaking to us before or that, you know, our prayer was in vain before.
Yeah.
But it's like, I use this analogy. If you didn't talk to a friend for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and you called them up one day out of the blue and said, I need $100. What's that conversation like? You got a whole hum around, small talk. You got to say, yeah, how you doing? How's the kids?
Depends
I haven't talked to you a long time.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, and they on the phone like, what does he want?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't do that with God.
Yeah.
Like, if you have relationship with your friend and you've been talking to your friend every single day for 20 years.
Yeah.
You can pick up the phone without any greeting and say, hey, man, I need $100.
Yeah.
Because a relationship has been established that entire time.
And they usually say yes before they even ask why.
Exactly. Right. Absolutely. And so we can't treat God like the friend that we haven't talked to in a long time. Because mm-hmm. when it comes time for us to have the boxing match or to be in war or when tragedy hits or when we need a sermon out of the blue the night before we speak.
Right.
Like, we can't then just come to God like, God, well, you know, I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Help me, Jesus. I got to preach tomorrow.
And this thing happened, and I need you to come through for me. And, oh, by the way, I worship you, and I glorify you, and I magnify your holy name. And God's like,
that's where so that? Many people miss it. It is God judging your heart.
Yeah. The
rest of that stuff, who you fronting for?
Exactly. God's like, how about you talk to me every day?
Yeah.
So when the time comes for you to see the manifestation of my power in your life, It's like you have built relationship equity with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God is faithful to us no matter what.
Yeah.
But I'd rather have relationship with God and asking for what I need than to be coming to God for the first time in a long time and asking him for what I need.
Yeah. And, man, and I don't know if it's just me. And I feel like based on the fact that for this, you know, this short window of my life, and it's been 6 years where I've been committed, you know, I've been committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the longer you're living in a committed relationship with God, the less of those needs are going to be. Because you just, if you're following him,
you don't have a lot
less needs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand some circumstances, they start at such a deficit. Yeah.
But you can at least eliminate the things that you the deficits that you create
mm-hmm.
when you have a relationship with him.
Yeah, yeah. And you cannot do it from a place of, oh man, there's benefits to God.
Right.
That ain't it. The benefit is a relationship with the Father.
Right.
Not the benefits,
right?
Not the promises that he gives you. Not none of that. That can't be your relationship with God. It got to be simply you've come to the realization that you love God.
Exactly. Absolutely.
I want to live my life because I love you, Lord.
Right, right.
Like, and you got to get there as a believer.
And I've been going through this now. Like, I'm more of let's read the Bible than prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my prayer life needed help for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I love studying the Word. Like, the Word of God speaks to me like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And so I've been journeying through this. Like, recently I've been like, man, I need to get in the prayer room and pray. I need to go pray. I need to pray. I talk to God periodically during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I have a relationship with God, conversations, but I always tell myself, man, I really need to set some time out to really spend with God, because I hadn't been. And I can tell the Holy Spirit telling me, Carlton, hello, wake up. I need you to spend some real time with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that I ignore it. I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Because I get to work. We have a prayer room here on the second floor at CLC. And my office is right next to it. So I pass the prayer room to get to my office.
And it speak to you every
time. Yeah, every time I'm like, well, I know Ace is in there this morning, so I'm going to keep walking past it and go to my office. You know what I'll do? I'll make coffee first, and then I'll go to the prayer room. Well, I'll check my email real quick because, you know, I saw this morning, you know, Pastor Brent emailed me. So let me respond to him, and then I'll go to the prayer room. And it doesn't happen.
No.
And lo and behold, I got something that happened in my life that I need to go to the prayer, to the prayer room for.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that tragedy was planned or anything like that, but it's something happens in your life where it's like, now I'm forced to go to the prayer room in a sense. It's like, I'm knocking down the door of the prayer room. I'm not even thinking about my office.
Right.
I'm not thinking about coffee or emails. I don't even open the second door into the building. I don't put down my laptop. I don't do anything. I go straight to the prayer room. And it's like, how come I didn't have that heart before this moment, before this time? And I think that's where what God wants from us is that we should be seeking him. We should be breaking down the door to seek him over all the other things that we put in our head that we need to do before we pray.
Yeah.
Because when the time comes, that should have been a habit of mine.
Yeah.
And now I'm apologizing to God for dissing him for so long.
Yeah.
I'm saying, God, man, you know, I'm sorry, man. I'm human, first of all. Second of all, I was disobedient. Like, now I got to position myself to say, and he hears me. I feel his presence. But he wants me to feel that feeling that, man, God, I let you down this past year. I haven't really been giving it to you.
Yeah.
And he receives me, and I feel that he received me. But it's like, why did I have to start there?
Yeah.
How come I couldn't break down the door and say, God, you know what happened? And we pick up where we left off.
There's a couple things in there that I want to comment on. One question to you. If you did put prayer first, how much of a difference would it make in everything else? And what do you believe?
Man, I believe that. That's a great question, Asa. Because it's not that the thing may have not have gone away. Maybe we would have gotten through it better. Or maybe there would have been some equipping in me that would allow me to get through it better than starting from scratch when the thing happens.
In the middle of the fight. Right. And wait.
Because I don't believe that necessarily God removes suffering. But he allows you to go through suffering. And because he allows you to go through it, I may have been better equipped to deal with it. My family may have been better equipped to deal with the thing that comes. So I don't know if it goes away. That may not have been your question, but if it goes away, but.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily specific to that thing. It was specific to everything in your life. Do you think, what benefit do you think it would be for you to pray
oh,
first?
Oh, man.
That's really the question. So you're aware that that's a huge. You know,
hey,
that
so are
if
you kidding me?
Okay, right.
I know my whole life would be.
Yeah, you didn't hear it right because it was
I'm
a
sorry.
Quick response.
Yeah,
you know everything could be better
I
if you do that.
I position myself differently in this podcast.
Right.
Okay. Do you have any idea how different my life would be if I prayed first?
Yes. Okay.
But not just prayer, because there was sometimes in my life where I was doing dirt and praying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I was doing dirt while I was praying.
Yeah.
Praying while I was doing dirt. Both.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's, I've been there. You know, but if prayer was serious and I completely submitted myself to God and listened to the Holy Spirit, not only my life would have been changed, the people that I've hurt lives would have been changed or not have gone in the direction that it's gone in. Like, I think about the what do you call it in war when people die outside of your targets? Man, it's a term for it.
I don't know.
All the people that were hurt.
Collateral damage.
Collateral damage. Yeah.
Collateral damage.
All the collateral damage that have happened
because
I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit.
All right. So you know the benefits.
Man, benefit, Asa?
So you know the benefits tomorrow and the day after if you start doing that.
Man, yes.
Okay, so you should start doing that, surely.
I'm going to go pray right now.
And you know that, and I know that. But we don't do it sometimes. I don't know why. Now, where I was going from
you're going, I'm so hyped about that moment. I'm sorry. You got a second point there.
It was a few more. I was just trying to get the quick answer to that. You know the benefits. Why is it so hard? So.
Because we crazy, man. We in sin. Too. We are
And that's
flesh.
A huge thing that the enemy fights. Hey, Carlton, you got an email to check.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Carlton, you got so much work to do. He don't fight your work. He fights your prayer and your flesh. Obviously, we know the flesh don't want to do it. It don't want to do God. The flesh don't want to do God. The Bible tells us that it's opposite. It's trying to go the opposite way. So we know the flesh, but the enemy fights that boy 100%. So when I first got on staff, my training.
What training? You got training?
Yeah, I had training. My training, Pastor Brent gave me this pastor university, Larry Stockstill, 50 videos, 50 things he learned in 50 years of that's more training than you got.
That's what's up.
I got to pass them to you. They're great. 50 years, 50 things that Larry Stockstill learned in 50 years of ministry.
Right.
The first, it's in four sections, the man, the lion, the four beasts.
Sure.
So anyway. Prayer is the first one, right? And there's so many powerful things he say in there. One, from just how he set his whole life up to make sure that before he answer email, do anything, he don't spend time praying. But then some of the examples that he give of David Cho, Dr. Cho in Korea, biggest church in the world, how he talks about how he don't show up to work unless he spent a whole lot of time praying. And he sees clearly the difference because over there they are aware that he prayed for people and people get healed. That he don't show up to the office without having prayed, or he sees that these people ain't getting healed today.
Right.
But that day that I was spending time with the Father, folks is getting healed. Then he also just talks about how the whole, when he spends times in prayer, when he goes to God about his daily decisions every day, how he's kind of figured out he can get – 8 things done in an hour when he's been in prayer, and when he's not in prayer, he can get 8 things done in a day or whatever, 8 things done in 8 hours.
Right.
So he's just showing you all these examples of, as much as it be the pressure be on you, and he's talking as a pastor, but this is for anybody.
Right.
As much as the pressure be on us to do something other than go hang out with Jesus and spend time talking to him and getting the assignment, I don't know where I was going with that, but as much as we do that other stuff, we'll be able to do everything else so much more efficient and better if we would do Jesus first every time. And I believe that wholeheartedly. But since I listened to that video in November of 2022, that's when I was on staff, but it wasn't out yet that I was the campus pastor. Man, it's a fight. Every day, still a fight. And I believe it.
Why,
believe
man? What's wrong with us?
I don't know.
Oh, wretched man that I am, who would deliver me the bondage of his death.
I believe
the
wholeheartedly.
The bondage of his death, man. This is what's wrong with us.
We gotta change it, man. We gotta change it. It gotta start with us, Carlton.
Do you understand?
Pray first. We give out books. Pray first.
You understand how my life would be different?
Yeah.
And people look at me like, okay, you Pastor Carlton, Executive Pastor CLC, like how could your life be different? I'm not saying that I would be a millionaire or anything like that. Not like that.
Yeah.
But there's heart issues and trauma and brokenness that would not exist. That at 41 years old, I would not be having to try to pray myself out of.
Right. It's like praying out the ditch when if you'd have just prayed up there to begin with, you wouldn't have been in the ditch.
And I wouldn't have dragged everybody in the ditch with me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. It's so true.
People fall in the ditch that didn't even, that shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? It's like prayer is so important.
Yeah.
And we dismiss it all the time. I'm even saying more than just daily communication with God, like our daily moment by moment talking to Jesus. That's so important for us because the Holy Spirit is helping us live every second of our lives.
Yeah.
But that time when we start our day at night, just taking those moments, like just taking a break from everything, putting everything down into the side and saying, let me just give God some time.
Because that's the thing. You ain't there to beg.
No.
That ain't what we're talking about.
Not at all.
I'm talking about taking the time to just go spend time with Jesus.
Just acknowledging love on him. God. Yes.
You ain't there to beg. If we do that, there would be so much more or less to beg about if we would just go spend time with Jesus in his presence, talking to
him.
What
we doing, man?
Lifting him up, telling him how much we love him.
Ace, what's wrong with us?
Let's get it together, man. We're going to have to end this podcast soon because it's been an hour and because we need to go pray. I don't know. We ain't got a timer. They left us in here alone.
They shouldn't have did that, man. I could talk about this forever. But just like I don't know, man. I don't know what to say, man. It's just prayer is vital.
Yeah, it's vital.
It's our connection to eternity. It's our connection to our Father. God died on the cross, and he removed the barrier between us and the Father, and he gave us full access to him. And we treat
and we
it
don't
like
take
this.
Advantage
like,
of.
No, man. We are so small in his infinite self that we have access to him. And we treat it like it's like it's just something to do, like a calendar thing.
And when you do
schedule.
It, it's great.
It's amazing.
So it ain't even like it's like a task. When I actually stop and just go with nothing on the agenda, turn on some worship music and just praise Jesus and hang out and just bask and give God glory, it is an awesome time. And I still don't do it enough.
I prayed this morning. I went into prayer room this morning to pray, and I was like, man, God, I have nothing to say. I don't know what to say. I got a lot of things on my heart, burdens, heaviness.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to put it in words. So I prayed in tongues. I said, man, the Holy Spirit knows what to say. And so I just prayed in my prayer language.
That's
what that and the prayer language was so, I could feel the Holy Spirit like actually like praying for me. And I'm like, man, that's what I needed. I needed to engage the Holy Spirit.
You builded yourself up on your most holy face.
Yes.
Praying in the Holy
Come
Ghost.
Come on, somebody.
That's what you did.
Ha!
Who?
All right, man. Man, we need to go. Man, I'm taking the rest of the day off. Sorry, Pastor Brent. I'm taking the rest of the day off. I'll put it in bamboo, HR. I'll put it in my PTO time. I just need to spend some time with God.
The rest
of
the stuff going to be there. The emails. It's all going to still be there.
We should just come to work and pray.
We should.
We shouldn't do anything
else. It would benefit CLC if we made everybody come actually pray for an hour, find a corner, and go spend time with Jesus.
Come on. We got
you the executive pastor, man.
You campus pastor.
Like, do you think it would benefit us?
Yes.
If we said, your first hour of every day at work, go spend time with Jesus.
On the podcast?
Ain't none of the bosses around, but... chime in and let us know what that
benefits put it in the comments.
CLC.
Yes.
I mean, it would benefit us.
But somebody need a giving statement and
man,
somebody offering they transpose
what
a
part
number
of
and
spend time in prayer and you'll get more done. You forgot that part that quick.
Yes.
It's the truth. When are we ever look, I've been working in church for a year and it's the saying 2 years now, and it's a saying. Sunday is always
coming.
And it's never going to stop coming. It's never going to get where we ain't got a lot of stuff to do. It's always too much to do. So it ain't like we getting ahead ignoring Jesus in the morning.
No one is ahead. If y'all don't know it, we show up on Sunday, church go great. But then we go back to living lives of never being ahead, running behind, trying to get to the next Sunday.
As soon as we unplug the mic on Sunday, we back at it.
We back at it. Because we should be praying first. We got to practice what we preach around here.
I know. Let's do it, man. Come on. Is that the end of the podcast?
I guess that's the end.
We took a long journey to get to this point. We should have started at this point.
This is what we should say. I'm the host now. For all y'all out there, I think the Lord is telling us that we need to pray first.
Ooh, Jesus.
And he's telling us because he's telling you. So if you learned anything today in this podcast, it's pray first. Not pray, not beg first. Go spend time with Jesus
first.
And
not pray after. After whatever it is, fill in the blank.
Pray first, pray second, pray through, pray at the end. But make sure you pray first. Right. That's the lesson for today. Forget everything else we said. Pray first.
And you see how the Holy Spirit worked in this podcast to get us to this point.
It worked out. Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. Man. All right.
All right. Well, good.
All right. I got to.
You have an end on a high five?
Let me close it out. Tune in to the next podcast. Oh. Rewatch this so you can get to the thesis of this podcast, right, which came in the end.
It came in the end.
We need to pray. Your lives will be changed. Yeah. I guarantee it. Just I know that not only from the revelation for the Holy Spirit has given us in this podcast, but in hindsight, I know that. But it's not just enough to know that in hindsight, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you now that you need to build that relationship with him, mm-hmm, and pray because your life will be changed.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it.
That's it.
Let's wrap it up and get out of here.
Peace.